From the best-selling Christian Heroes Then and Now series, YWAM Publishing presents William Booth, Soup, Soap, and Salvation by Janet and Jeff Benge. Read for you by Tim Gregory. For information about other titles in this outstanding series, please visit our website at ywampublishing.com or call us at 800-922-2143. Chapter 1. A Thorn in the Flesh. Elizabeth Geike, a pretty blue-eyed woman with a dark complexion from Dundee, Scotland, raced out of her tiny mud hut in the jungle near the village of Aladi in Nagercoil, India, to see where the blood-curdling noise was coming from. It was coming from the path that led to her dwelling. Soon, a group of men from Aladi were approaching her hut. They carried a man who was the source of all the noise. At first, Elizabeth thought he might be crazy, and the villagers were bringing him to torment her. She waited anxiously as the group stopped in front of her hut and laid the man at her feet.
"This man has something wrong, and we don't know what to do," one of the men in the group said.
Elizabeth soon learned that the man was not mad at all, but was wailing from excruciating pain. But what was the source of the pain? Had he eaten poison or been bitten by a cobra? She knelt down and began to inspect his body for clues to the pain. It was then that she noticed his left foot was swollen. She touched it, and the man let out another blood-curdling yell. Gingerly, she inspected the foot, where she found the source of the pain, a small point protruding from the sole. It was the end of a huge, embedded thorn. From the hut, Elizabeth fetched her medical kit. But inside it, she found only petroleum jelly, Epsom salts, and castor oil, and not the forceps she needed to extract the thorn from the man's foot. She would have to improvise. To the horror of those gathered around, Elizabeth knelt down, leaned forward, and placed her lips against the dirty, calloused sole of the man's foot. She then clamped her white teeth around the protruding end of the thorn and slowly moved her head back. Bit by bit, the embedded thorn began to slide out of the foot until her head jerked back and the thorn was out. Immediately, the man let out a cry of relief as his agonizing pain began to subside. With the thorn extracted, Elizabeth bathed the wound in coconut oil and then wrapped a lint bandage around it. Soon, the man and the group that had brought him disappeared as quickly as they had arrived. The next day, the group of men were back. This time, they did not have another injured person with them. Instead, they wanted answers.
"Why is it that you, a white woman, would want to save the life of a man by placing your lips, the most sacred part of the body, against his foot, the most despised part of the body?"
"Because my God, who loves and values all men, asked me to do it," she replied.
This was the opening Elizabeth Geike had been praying for, and soon those in the group were clamoring to know more about her God. First, the man whose foot she had extracted the thorn and his wife became Christian converts. Soon, others from the village followed, until the nucleus of a small church had been formed. William Booth laid the report from India that contained Elizabeth Geike's story on his desk and walked to his office window. As he looked out at the brick and stone facades of London's buildings, a smile of satisfaction settled across his face. Elizabeth's action was the kind of selfless demonstration of the power of the gospel that touched people and changed their hearts. Her action was more powerful than the words of any sermon. Despite the vicious persecution members of the Salvation Army had endured since setting foot in India, Elizabeth was a woman who would not allow the message of God's love to be silenced. Elizabeth had done what William and any other member of the Salvation Army would have done. They would have shown God's love in whatever practical way possible. In the very streets of London below, people were out doing the same thing at that moment, helping the poor and needy, comforting the sick and the weak, and bringing the hope of God's love into otherwise hopeless lives and situations. That is what William Booth had striven to do all his life. From the first time he encountered those on the fringes of society in his hometown of Nottingham, he had been drawn like a magnet to them and their needs. They were the people God had given him to minister the gospel to. And now, a vast army of people like Elizabeth Geikie were spread around the world doing the same. William sank back into the chair behind his desk to continue reading the dispatch from India. Before he could pick up the paper, he found his thoughts wandering back to Nottingham, where it had all begun.